Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 1, reading from verse 22 to verse 25 as follows. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. The word of God, specifically the gospel of salvation, is a priceless treasure that God has graciously given us in order to show us the only way to heaven, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. Through the gospel, the Holy Ghost creates the faith that receives the promised blessings. The promised blessings of forgiveness and life everlasting, which our dear Lord Jesus earned for us by his perfect life and by his innocent suffering and death on the cross. Though all people in their natural condition or state of unbelief regard the gospel as foolishness, we Christians, through the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost, have learned that it is more valuable than any earthly treasure. While earthly treasures can only bring passing joys and temporary pleasure, the Word of God conveys lasting comfort and joy, even in times of great distress. And in the hour of death, when earthly treasures are more easily seen to have very little value, the gospel provides the greatest comfort and strength to the person who trusts its message of God's saving grace. Not only do the joys conveyed by worldly things pale in comparison to the joy conveyed by the gospel of Christ, but the earthly treasures themselves simply do not last. The newest cars get old and break down, the most cutting-edge piece of technology gets old and is soon regarded as junk. The nicest clothes get old and worn out. And even the children of this world, the unbelievers, know this to be true, which is why newer products are always made and eagerly bought by the consumers of those products. And when we Christians consider how the highly prized and highly priced things of this earth really don't last, they wear out, they break down, they get stolen, we are reminded how foolish it is to place our hearts upon them. As Jesus reminds us in his Sermon on the Mount, saying, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Unlike such earthly things, the great treasure that we have in the Word of God is one that will never fade away, one that will never die, perish, fall out of existence, or be destroyed. Even though all the host of hell and all the unbelievers in the world would love to be able to destroy the Word of God, the Lord will never let that happen. For as we are told in the words of our text for this morning, the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And following the outline of our text, we will first examine the point that God's Word is described as the imperishable seed by which we are brought to saving faith. And secondly, that the ever-enduring Word of God outlasts humans and all their glory. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Our text begins by highlighting the sanctifying work of the Holy Ghost, how he renews Christians in their hearts and lives. We read, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently." Now, it might seem odd that this verse talks about Christians purifying their souls, since other passages of Scripture make it clear that God purifies our hearts and lives. Yes, it is God who deserves all the credit and all the glory for purifying our souls by bringing us to saving faith in the Lord Jesus and by causing us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And yet, our text does say, "Seeing ye have purified your souls, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." So it's important to remember that we Christians are the ones who believe in Jesus as our Savior. The Holy Ghost does not believe for us. And we Christians perform good works, pleasing to God as a fruit of our faith. The Holy Ghost does not do those good works for us. But at the same time, it is important to remember that God is the only one who can create and preserve saving faith in our hearts. Humans can't do that. And God alone is responsible for moving us to follow God's commandments in love. We don't have the ability to self-generate, either the ability or the desire to follow God's commandments. And Peter, in the first verse of our text, brings out these separate points, where we read, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." And the way that this work of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, shows itself in our day-to-day lives is by producing fruits of love. And as our text for this morning describes it, this love is to be unfeigned, which means sincere, true, without hypocrisy. And it is to be fervent, which means intense, not cold or lukewarm. Thus Peter says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure, clean heart, fervently." Now, since Peter's Christian readers had been sanctified by the Holy Ghost, being brought to saving faith in Jesus and having the image of God's holiness renewed in them, the new man, they did produce works of love in their lives, as all Christians do. But Peter here encourages them to grow in those fruits of love. The Apostle James says in his epistle, that any religion that does not produce the works, the fruits of love, in accordance with God's commandments, is a vain religion. And any faith that does not produce such works of love is dead. So, you and I, as Christians, also bring forth the fruits of love in our lives. But it is to our shame that we do not always consistently show love in everything that we do and in everything that we say. And that is because of our sinful flesh. Therefore, all of us need to take to heart the exhortation of our text to become more fruitful in good works, to love one another with a pure heart fervently out of love for the Savior. The work of the Holy Ghost whereby a person is brought to saving faith in Jesus is described in Scripture as regeneration, a new birth. And in the next verse of our text, Peter focuses upon the means used by the Holy Ghost to bring about this new birth, this regeneration, the means of God's Word. We read, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It is the word of God, specifically the gospel, through which the Holy Ghost causes sinful, fleshly children of wrath, which is how we all are by nature, to be born anew as children of God and heirs of heaven. That is a divine work, which no corruptible seed, no work or effort of sinful man could accomplish. Accordingly, the Apostle John writes in the first chapter of his gospel that this new birth is brought about not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And again, our text says that the means used by God to accomplish this regeneration, this bringing us to this, into the saving Christian faith, is God's word. And notice that the word of God is here described as being incorruptible, which means imperishable, seed, which liveth and abideth forever. This attribute of God's word, that it will live forever and never perish, is of course the focus of this year's convention. The Lord has preserved his word from the time that he caused it to be written by inspiration of the Holy Ghost through the apostles and prophets down to this present day. And he will certainly continue to preserve it all the way through to the very last day of this world's existence. Even on judgment day itself, the word of the Lord will be present and will be the standard of judgment by which every human being will either be declared guilty or innocent. Indeed, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. What a comfort it is for us to know that we will continue to be able to use and to be edified by God's word all the rest of our lives. And the same thing holds true for our children and for their children after them, for as many generations as the Lord has determined to be born before he brings this world to an end. Yes, even if, but may God graciously prevent this from happening, even if our beloved conference would become corrupted with false doctrine and dissolve, even if the devil is successful in drawing away a congregation from the truth into heterodoxy, yet God's inspired word, Holy Scripture, will never be destroyed. So people will still be able to have their saving faith in Christ generated, strengthened, and preserved for their soul's salvation through that imperishable, incorruptible, never dying seed of God's word. Our text presents a very clear contrast between God's incorruptible, ever-enduring, never-dying word and corruptible, perishable, sinful mortals when it says that we Christians have been born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And as our text continues, this great contrast is further described on the basis of Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. And it is shown to be such a huge contrast, the things contrasted being as drastically different as night is from day. We read, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever." The passing of time brings about much change in ourselves and in the physical world around us. In some stages of life, the changes might actually be positive. We might become better at doing a certain task, more wise in how we handle difficult situations, stronger, more endurance through physical exercise. But eventually, the changes will go in the other direction. We will grow older, more feeble, weaker, mentally and physically, until finally our lives here on earth draw to a close, just as the grass withereth. The earthly lives of humans do not last long at all in comparison to the duration of the world. And even the entire duration of the world is nothing compared to eternity. The Apostle James writes, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And most people, especially if they have already lived a number of years, realize that their lives will be over before too long. Even if they live another 20, 30, or 50 years, that time will fly by quite quickly. And then they're gone from this earth. The Bible says, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." Very few people are remembered or spoken of after 50 to 100 years have passed since the time they die. Knowing this to be true, many people make it a great goal of theirs to create a legacy, something that will extend beyond their life, something that will cause them to be remembered after they've departed this earth. But for that, it needs to be something really great, something glorious. So, do the glorious accomplishments of people really last for a long time in this world after they themselves have left it? After our text declares that we humans are like grass, what does it say that all the glory of man is like? It says all the glory of man is as the flower of grass that falleth away. Yes, the wild flowers of the field do look pretty, but they don't last very long. So relatively quickly, humans and all their glory pass away and are forgotten. The Bible says, "The memory of them is forgotten." But what if someone is especially wise? Will he be remembered long after his death because he was so wise? Well, again, the Bible says, "There is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is, in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool." How depressing is all of this? Actually, none of these things should really depress us or fill us with sadness. Acknowledging that what our text says is true about the shortness of human existence in this earthly life should not upset us, because of what our text says will last forever. Namely, God's precious word. "The word of the Lord endureth forever." And that is true of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It does not matter that the Bible was written thousands of years ago. His word continues and stands just as true and authoritative as ever. Advances in science and new theories of science, falsely so called, do not require us to change the Bible, update, modernize, or adapt to conform to the new theories. Likewise, changes in culture, the morality of the times, new modern worldly definitions of what is right and what is wrong, that does not require us to change what the Bible says, what the Bible clearly declares is good, and what the Bible clearly declares is evil. No human has the right to change or twist or update the scriptures to make it conform to their own whims or private opinions. Why? Because the scripture says no prophecy of the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. That's why. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that is precisely the point. Because the Bible is the inspired word of the Lord God. That means that it, in all of its words, in all of its parts, is as faithful and unchangeable as its divine author. Though this certainly also applies to God's holy law, the last sentence of our text puts the focus specifically on the gospel. We read, "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So, the word of the Lord that endureth forever is here identified as the very gospel that was preached from the mouth of Peter and his fellow apostles, which was also then written down in their various epistles. That gospel is, of course, the good news of the complete forgiveness of all our sins for the sake of the substitutional life and death of the Lord Jesus, by which full atonement for the sins of the whole world was made, through which the whole world has been reconciled to God. The writings of the apostles and prophets are the very word of God himself, since they were written by verbal, meaning word for word, inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And thankfully, the glorious promises of the gospel have no expiration date. It is the same gospel of forgiveness for the sake of the Redeemer by which every Christian who has ever lived or whoever will live is saved. And we should not have any doubts concerning the preservation of God's word, since his promise to do so is faithful, and since his power to do so is more than capable. Yes, the Lord God himself has seen to it that the scriptures would not be lost, using humans to make copies of the Bible so that they can be handed down, and since they have been handed down from generation to generation, transmitted faithfully. And through translation into many different languages, God has caused his word to be spread throughout the world. So, we have the word of God in our English translation of the Bible, the King James Version. And God will make sure that his word is preserved for all generations after us. They will have the word of God available also to them. His word will continue till the end of time. The word of the Lord endureth forever. But simply having a printed copy of God's word on our bookshelf does not profit us. Simply having a great Bible app on our phone doesn't edify us. Simply being a member of a faithful church and putting in an appearance every Sunday, if our ears are closed to the word when it is preached, is neither beneficial to us nor is it pleasing to the Lord. People who do such things give the sacrifice of fools, God says. So we need to make sure we take the word of God into our hearts for the power of the Holy Ghost to work through that word within us so that we can be built up and strengthened in our saving Christian faith and truly receive the blessings that God wants to convey to us through that word. Jesus says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it," which means hold it and guard it in our hearts. We should never take for granted the great blessing that we have through God's faithful preservation of his word down to this present day. But we should grow in our appreciation of this precious gift and make good use of it, reading it and studying it and meditating upon it and, of course, applying it in our daily lives. And let us rejoice in the knowledge that his word will continue to be preserved for us by the Lord's power and grace for every future generation until the end of the world. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.